days in which we are living are exciting days. They are very significant days. And they fall right within the plan of God for this hour in which we live. There's a lot of speculation about what everything means, the events that are happening. I'm so thankful that we have a resource that we can draw on, the Word of God. This book is often called the Book of Life. And there's a reason for that. It not only tells us about the source of life, about the God who gives life, gives us life, but it points us in the right direction towards eternal life and lets us know that in the midst of all that's happening, there is a purpose, there is a reason. It's not just all chaos, it's all moving in one direction towards an end. The skeptic who rails against God and His Word, for there are many who in our society who want to remove the Word of God from every place in society. The skeptic believes in the power of the human mind and human strength to resolve the problems that are facing the world. It's interesting to hear the conversations with respect to the economic situation that we have, not just here in America, but throughout the world. We're finding that problems that used to be confined to a country or an area of the world now are global. That it's not just one country's problem, but now things are being dealt with on a global basis. And there's more and more talk about us moving towards some type of government or some political system that will tie us all together closer than we've ever have been before. There's some speculation on that, how that's going to happen. But we do know from God's Word that this is all in line with what God has already prophesied through His Word. To understand where we are today, we oftentimes go back to ancient times because there are some basic questions about humanity and about good and evil that are being debated in the public arena. There are those who want to believe that man is essentially good, that evil is not something that is resident within mankind. It's just something that happens. Many feel that with proper training and guidance, we can be brought to a higher level of humanity. But yet the Word of God is very clear. And this morning I'd like for us to go back to the earliest of times found in the book of Genesis. And it's a familiar story with many, but we need to remind ourselves of a few things, I believe, in this current onslaught that we see that the church is under from the enemy to try to undermine the very foundations of our faith. Now, some have debated as to whether or not what we find in Genesis, especially in the early chapters with regard to Adam and Eve, some debate whether or not Adam and Eve, they were actually real people. Of course, if you adopt an evolutionary theory, you might come to the conclusion that it wasn't just one man and one woman at the beginning. There was an evolutionary process that was taking place over millions and millions of years that started from a very humble state, just a cell or two, and then through the evolutionary process over time, there were animal forms of life that developed, etc. To simplify everything, just to say that over time, it eventually developed into higher forms of human life until man appeared. That's really different, isn't it, from what we find in Genesis. And if you go back to Genesis, the second chapter, I just want us to take a look this morning at this passage and deal with this subject, because people are wondering, am I going to have enough to make it through the next 5 or 10 years or whatever? People are wondering about their retirement. Those of you near retirement, there's a lot that's being done now in Congress, and wondering about, you know, are we going to have enough? People are worried about their health coverage, all these things. I'd like to speak on this subject that of getting what we need. We have a promise from God, and there is a plan of God that goes back to the very beginning. And if we would give heed to what God has already said, I think it might dispel some of the concerns that people have as to whether or not we're going to make it in the days ahead. Genesis, the second chapter, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you shall surely die. That's pretty plain and pretty clear, isn't it? I mean, most of the Word of God is that way. It's real plain and real clear. How many times have you heard people say, well, you know, the Bible, nobody can really understand it. It's subject to interpretation. It's subject to interpretation. It says the Lord God took man, put him in a garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. I mean, it's real plain exactly what's going on here. There was a place at one time in the ancient world, a very wonderful place called the Garden of Eden, and our Creator, who created us, put the first man in that garden to cultivate it, and it was a place of blessing. Now, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, is the following verses through verse 7 are some of the most important verses that we have with regard to explaining the essential nature of man. Because, as I said earlier, there are some who believe that man is essentially good. And this is part of the problem. There are those who try to deal with individuals who want to harm us. We talk about terrorism in the world today, terrorists and others. And there are still individuals who will not accept the fact that there are individuals out there who are essentially evil, that you really can't make friends with because they've been blinded to the point that they are evil in their intent. And just recently over the weekend, you heard a report of a tragedy of those missionaries who were really a medical missionary team doing the work of the Lord and helping people who are underprivileged, people who are desperate, and going into a remote area, and you hear the description of where they had to go and the sacrifice they had to make just to get there in this remote village to help these people, and then making their way back to their base were intercepted and by terrorists and were executed, were killed. For doing what? For doing good. But there are evil people in the world. Amazing that there are some folk who don't want to accept that fact. And this goes right to the heart of it. In the third chapter of Genesis, it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, God has said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely shall not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was delight to the eyes, the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. And thus we have the story of what is described as the fall of man. Isn't it interesting? Man is trying to improve himself, trying to gain an advantage, thinking that he's going to be better off. And when all is said and done, instead of improving his circumstances, he actually falls. Falls a great distance, so to speak, from being in the place where God wanted him to being in a place that would bring ultimately judgment upon him. See, mankind struggles with this whole idea of doing that which is forbidden. It almost seems like there's something built within us that when you hear it's forbidden, you want to go there. We have that thing, you know, when we rear our children, and say, don't do this, don't do that. And some say, you ought not to train your children that way, because as soon as you say don't, you know that's exactly where they're going. You know exactly that's what they're going to do. You say, don't say that. And one little kid one time came across, and he just a little tyke, about 4 and a half or so, or five, and they were with another kid, and he said, shut up to this kid. And I said, I kind of got their attention, said, hey, you know, you shouldn't talk like that. Don't say that. He looked at me and said, you shouldn't say shut up. He goes, shut up. I said, no, you're not supposed to say it. Shut up. Defied me right to my face. And I thought to myself, there's that old Adamic nature. It's there, isn't it? When you say no, when you say don't go there, don't do that, shut up. Kind of, I had all I could do, keep from laughing. It was kind of comical, but it really said volumes to me in that moment, because I said, you know, that's the real nature of man. We want to go against the rule. We want to go to that place where we ought not to go. We want to say those things we ought not to say. We want to violate those laws that tell we can't do. We want to say, yes, we can, because we want to be supreme. Man wants to be the master of his universe. And in Genesis, we find out that there is only one master of the universe, and that's God Almighty. And we have millions of people today who are railing in the face of a holy God, denying his very existence, saying, we will not submit to any divine law. We will be the master of our own destinies, and we will do what we are going to do. And that's what we see is happening today. It's exactly what's happening. You see it in academia also. You see all the individuals, and it's amazing how many really ignorant academics are out there. As soon as they open their mouths in debate on TV and begin to speak out against some things, I'm thinking to myself, these are individuals who are training our young people in institutions of higher learning. I say, dear Lord, what's happening? Now I know what's happening to our youth when they're being indoctrinated by people like these. Because you see, when you leave God out of the equation, you don't arrive at truth. You arrive at something else but truth. And it takes you down a path that will lead to destruction. Yeah, we struggle with this idea of going towards those things that are forbidden. And then we find ourselves in predicaments as reminders of this basic flaw of human nature. We want to live our lives the way we want without restraint and prohibitions. And then society reaps the results, and we reap the results also in our lives. Well, we go back to this word. We keep coming back to the word of God. In these days, the best thing for those who are anxious about the times in which we live is to stay close to Jesus. Now, how do you do that? How do you stay close to God? How do you stay close to Jesus? Get yourself in the Word of God. Have an attitude of prayer. Have a prayerful life. Don't disassociate yourself from the people of God. You need to be around the people of God because they will encourage you. They will reinforce what you know is right and true. I pity those who think they can go off and just have their own little time and they don't need the fellowship of the saints. You need to be around other Christians. It's important we know what God has said and we study it. And we talk about Adam and Eve. It was important that they hear what God wanted them to hear. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth." It's amazing what I've heard some people say is in the Bible, and it's not really there. They'll quote something and you say, "Yeah, that verse," and they'll quote something. It's not even in the Bible. "The Lord works in mysterious ways, as wonders to perform." Thank God for His Word. Might be true, but we have all, it's amazing what people quote from the Bible, and it's not really there. Let me show you several things here I think are important for us. First of all, it is important to know what God has said, and I've emphasized that time and time again because it is important in these days. People are turning away from sound doctrine. Don't do that. Stay in the Word of God first. There are several things here when we talk about God and His ways and why it's important to live close to Christ. First of all, we see even here in this passage, privilege. God has given us certain privileges. Notice if you go back in Genesis 2:16, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any of the garden you may eat freely." And that really is a picture of what God is like. Do you know God has privileges that He has provided for you and for every child of God to participate in? Privileges. Things that we can do. We need to know what those privileges are. There's a lot we can do and that God wants us to do. Living the Christian life is not just a list of don'ts. And it used to be that way. Some people thought, well, if I'm a Christian, I can't do this, can't do that. And they go right down a list of don'ts. Let's focus on the privileges that we have. That we can walk in the light as Christ is in the light, and we have the freedom to openly worship the Lord, especially here in this country, openly worship the Lord, and we have the freedom to search His Word. We have the freedom to go to God the Father. We don't have to go through some ritual, through another person, but we can go straight to the God who created us in prayer. In a moment of time, you say you want to feel the presence of God? One of the ways you can feel the presence of God is to call on the name of Jesus and begin to worship right where you are. I don't care where you are. In the midst of whatever circumstance, and the privilege is that you will have an audience with the King of Kings and with the Lord of Lords. You'll be brought into the throne room of God when you call upon His name. What a privilege we have. God has given us. Be brought right into His presence at the mention of His name. A beautiful song, He says, close as the mention of His name. Jesus. And you just begin to speak the name of Jesus. And there's something powerful in that name. Now I know there are hundreds, thousands of young men somewhere in the world named Jesus. But there's nothing like the one that we serve. And when you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, there is power in that name. And you can say just about any name you want in public. And it may or may not make a difference, and you may get attention or might not get attentions. But when you say the name of Jesus in a reverent way, all of a sudden it commands attention. All of a sudden you get a reaction. You might have one of acceptance, but you might have one of rejection too. Why is that? Because there is power in the name of Jesus. And if you're hurting and your soul is aching and you're breaking inside and you have nowhere else to turn, you can turn to your Heavenly Father and breathe the name of Jesus, and He will come to you in that moment and you will feel His presence. You'll feel His presence. Talk about the privileges we have as a child of God. How many are in the world and they don't even know where to turn? They don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day, and they have no hope. And we who have the word of life, and we have the promises of God, and they are ours to claim and to receive. And simply by breathing the name of the one whom we love and serve, our Savior, we are brought into His presence, and that will make all the difference in the world. When you are in a desperate situation, to feel the comfort of God, there's nothing like it. To let Him come and speak to your heart and to say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. There's nothing like it. That's a privilege we have. Not only do we have this privilege that comes from God, we have protection. Along with privilege, there is protection revealed in God's word. Notice what it says in 2:17, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. Say protection? That's right. God's word tells it like it is. This will protect you from those things that will destroy you. Will destroy you. And when God said that, He wasn't doing that just to hurt Adam and Eve's feelings. He wasn't just doing that to be in kind of a sadistic way, keeping them from some pleasure that they would have. He was warning them. It was a protective command. Stay away from certain things that are going to harm you. And God tells us from His word those things that will harm us. He's given us a resource of commandments that protects us from disaster and ruin. In Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, in verse 13, this is what it says. When I say to the righteous, he will surely live, and he so trusts in his righteousness that he commits iniquity, none of his righteous deeds will be remembered. Did you hear that? Let me read that again. When I say to the righteous, that's a good person, he will surely live, and he so trusts in his righteousness or his goodness that he goes out and commits iniquity. See, some people think they're so good they can go out and do some things anyway because they're so good. Nothing's going to happen to them. They feel like it's not going to affect them. Then it says, none of his righteous deeds, the good things he does, will be remembered. But in that same iniquity of his which he has committed, he will die. But when I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and he turns from his sin and practices justice and righteousness. If a wicked man restores a pledge, pays back what he has taken by robbery, walks by the statutes which ensure life without committing iniquity, he will surely live. He shall not die. Well, I'll tell you, if I'm that person that's being described here, and I've done iniquity, I've done some bad things, I've stolen, I've done whatever, and the Word of God says if I go and restore things, and then I turn to Him and do what is right, instead of feeling condemnation and facing judgment down the road, I know that things, all of a sudden, the slate is wiped clean, and God's blessing awaits me. I'm not going to die because of that. I'm not going to die eternal death. If I turn my heart to God, God's going to cleanse me and save me and deliver me. God has given a resource of commandments like this that protect us from disaster and ruin. And God has given fair warning to all who read His word. Well, not only is there protection here, but we see provision. Notice what it says in Genesis 3:21. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam, his wife, and clothed them. Philippians says this, Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And we see how in Christ, the things that we cannot do for ourselves, God will provide for us. God provided a covering for Adam and Eve. And he provides a covering for us. And you who are looking to God for daily provision, trust in the Lord. Don't trust in the arm of flesh. Trust in God. Do it God's way, not your way. If you will do it God's way, there is the promise of blessing He will come. He will sustain you. He will provide. Not only that, but we see presence here also, the presence of God. God was there with them in the garden. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. That is a wonderful promise. Hear me today. Some people say, why is it worth serving God? Because God has promised he will never leave you. He will never desert you. In my lifetime, looking back, there were times when I had individuals who I thought were my friends. And through circumstances, all of a sudden I found out that what I thought was there, all of a sudden they weren't my friends. They weren't true. And there was a time when they weren't there. They might have been on the opposite side of issues and things. And I thought they were close friends. And then they were... You see, sometimes even good friends will fail you. And there are times when you might be left standing alone, so you think. And you need to know that there's a God in heaven who will not desert you, even though friends may desert you. Think of the life of Job. Think of what that man went through. Think of those so-called friends of his and how they turned on him and accused him of wrongdoing, because that was their theology. If bad things happen to you, it's because you're doing bad things. There's some sin there. And they questioned his righteousness and his goodness. And that happens from time to time. But serving God, you always have someone to turn to, and he will not forsake you. He will always be there for you because he loves you. He loves you. And he cares. Presence. So we learn from God's word these various things, that there is privilege here, there's protection, there's provision. All those things were in the Garden of Eden. What a tragedy. There was even God's presence there with them. And they sacrificed it all because they chose to live their lives the way they wanted to. And they violated his holy word. God promises his presence in our lives as we trust him and as we live for him. John 5:24 says this, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Goes on to say this, John 5:25, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live. All of these provisions we have. It goes really back to the garden. We can see it in the Garden of Eden, and we can see it carried out through time, the plan of God. We are facing days of uncertainty. Some feel, what's going to happen? What if we just stay with what works? Stay with what God has provided. Stay with his promises. Keep in the word of God. You don't need some newfangled doctrine. There says in the last days they're going to be those who have like itching ears. They're going to want to hear a new doctrine. They've heard the gospel and they want something else. They want to hear something else. Listen, the power and the strength of the gospel is in the fact that it's unchanging. You don't have to change it. I don't have to give you a newfangled doctrine. I don't have to try to lead you down another path that you've never been down before. I don't need to give you some great new insight that no one else has ever had. Listen, there's nothing new under the sun anyways. I seem to read that somewhere. What is it that keeps us on the straight and narrow and leads us eventually to the gates of heaven? It is the timeless truth, the ageless word of God that endures forever. It started back in the ancient world, back in the garden when God communicated his will and his word to Adam and Eve, and then was passed on down orally to those who followed, and then eventually was penned and written down by the prophets and has now come to us in this book that we call the Bible, the Word of God. It is God's Word. God loves you. God wants you to be in heaven with Him. Stick to the Word. Keep your feet planted solidly on what He has revealed. Don't go out there trying to find something else, some newfangled thing. Listen, we know where we're going. We know where we're headed. Read the book. It tells you. You know exactly where we're headed. Oh, there might be some particulars that are a little bit maybe difficult for you to figure out, but I have a feeling that when things happen, all of a sudden you're going to say, hey, I know where I've seen that. I know where I've read that. I know what that means because God has revealed it right here in this book. Book. You see, getting what we need, it's not always what you think you need. It's all here, though. It's right here. You say, what do I need? Read the book and you'll know what you need. God reveals it. Get close to the Lord. Stay close to Him. Stay in His Word. Let God do something in your life that goes beyond your wildest dreams and expectations. God can make something of you that you don't even envision, could never envision. He can do it if you let Him. Would you bow your hearts in prayer? If you're here today, then God has been speaking to your heart. And maybe you've been going through some things that have been very difficult for you. And maybe you've thought, well, maybe the answer is somewhere else. And you've gotten away from trusting God. You've gotten away from prayers of faith that believe. You've gotten away from that. This morning, God is calling you back. He's promised to never leave you nor forsake you, and you embrace that truth today. You would say, Pastor, you know, I just want a closer walk with the Lord. I know He's the answer. And I know the Bible does have the word I need, and I know the answer is there, and I just want more of God today. I don't want to rely on just the advice of others. I want to put my trust in what God has said and believe that in spite of what I'm experiencing right now, that He's going to work things out for my good because He loves me and He promised He would never leave me nor forsake me. And so I want to put my trust in Him today. Just slip your hand up and I know what you mean. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. Now I want you to pray with me as in your own hearts you pray. And if you're here and you didn't raise your hand and you feel that you need to, then you also need to look to the Lord and pray this prayer. Lord, I'm here before You. I recognize my need to follow You closely. I turn away from just the advice of others and the advice of the world. And this morning, I open my heart and my ears to hear the voice of God. And I ask You, Lord, to speak into my life. Speak into my heart. I want to do what is right. Help me, Lord, to discipline myself, to turn to Your Word, to realize what Your will is for me. And then help me, Lord, to follow Your will, believing that You will never leave me nor forsake me, trusting in Your Word, knowing that You love me and You care about me. Help my life to reflect to others Your presence which is in me. Jesus, help me to walk this path as you would have me walk it, that I might be an inspiration to others who desperately need to know there's a God in heaven who loves them. I surrender my life to you, Lord. I say, come, take possession of my heart and soul. I choose to serve you. Amen. And that prayer will be the bridge that will take you from where you are to where God wants you to be. These are days, I've said it many times, that we need to get as close to God as possible. And my prayer is that you will, with a passion, begin to seek God for His will. Don't accept the ordinary. Believe God for the extraordinary. Don't believe that just as you see God, things as they are, that that's the way they ought to be. Look beyond it and with eyes of faith, believe that God wants it to be something other than what it is that will bring glory to His name. Don't settle on the mediocre when God wants you to have His best. Hunger and thirst after the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and know that He will fill you if you will do that. And know that His kingdom will be established. And know that great things will be accomplished as you pursue God with a passion. Let that be your desire in these days. Don't allow the enemy to have any entrance in your life. Stay true to what you know is right. Stand upon His word. Believe it and proclaim it to others, because there are others who are in desperate need right now, who just need somebody like you to share with them the word of life. That's all they need. And once they hear it, they'll accept it. Why not be the one to take it to them? Why not be the one to help change a life? Take a bold stand for God in these days. Don't be intimidated by the enemy and by the world. Stand upon the truth of God. Be the soldier of the cross that God wants you to be, contending for the faith in this world that to a great degree is turning its back on God. Don't cave in. Be that extraordinary individual God wants you to be. And to that I say amen. So be it, Lord. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. So be it, Lord. May that be the will of God for you and for this church, that we will go forward, not in fear, with fear and trembling, but with boldness and with faith. And with eyes of vision and hearts that stay true to the calling He's placed within. Would you stand with me? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Have you felt the presence of Jesus here today? I have. And if you haven't, you missed it. He's been here. He's still here with us. He wants you to know He loves you and He cares about you, every single one of you. And you are very special. Every single one of you are special in God's sight. There's no one else on the face of the earth just like you. And you have a very special place in the program of God. And don't let anybody tell you differently. Every single one of you here today is special in God's sight. And you can find out what that is, what that special calling is, if you ask the Lord. You can say, God, show me. If you will ask God on a daily basis, say, show me, Lord, today what you want me to do. Help me, Lord, to be what you want me to be. If you treat each day as another opportunity to be a light in a world of darkness, If you choose every day to seek the will of God and breathe a simple prayer before you start out in the morning, amazing things will happen in your life. God will use you in ways that you have thought weren't even possible. God will use you that way. It all has to do with the intent of your heart, with the set of your sails, so to speak, the direction you're going. And you can determine that every day when you get up in the morning. Say, I'm moving with God. And this is going to be a day I dedicate to Him. And great things are going to happen today. The kingdom of God is going forward. And I'm going to be a part of what's happening. Jesus, we love You. And we thank You for the power that we have through our Lord. I ask even now, God, that we would be a sense of urgency on the hearts of Your people. That we live in momentous times. These are days to get close to You. May Your Holy Spirit even now fall fresh upon every believer in this place. As we prepare to leave, oh God, may we go with Your strength and with the mind of Christ to accomplish what You've called us to do this very week. I pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Lord's Day. Don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock. Young people, you have a meeting also at 6 o'clock. God bless you. And all